is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
All the world gripped by the word tariffs. What does it mean for our future? Uncertainty is bedeviling Wall Street. However, I turn for certainty to Gregory Copley, my mentor, editor, and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, writing most recently about the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. People's Republic of China is a polite way to refer to the CCP, totally in charge, not only of the apparatus, the government, the infrastructure, the people, the money, but also the military. And what we're witnessing in the tariff dispute is a demonstration of China threatening. That's the word. Gregory, a very good evening to you. China remarks in these last hours that it will fight to the end. Fight to the end, referring to tariffs that Mr. Trump has announced on China until and if it obeys the WTO recommendations to not beggar your neighbor, not dump, not steal information, and generally behave as a member of the community and not as a pirate these many years. And China's response is belligerence and threats. Your analysis of China is that what we're witnessing is not a strong nation, but a nation that is cornered and without good options. Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you. And it is important to recognize that this global tariff war, which appears to have been unleashed by President Trump in the United States, from the United States, is many different wars at the same time. The tariff wars, which are underway between other trading nations, is really an attempt to get the world back to a free trade environment. And although President Trump is saying that he is acting like a protectionist president, with tariffs being a very good weapon, he's really trying to get everybody back to a zero tariff situation, which the United States has not done much in the past. The United States has been very much a protectionist economy. But with the Chinese situation, it's different. It's about tariffs and trades and protectionism, yes, but it is about the attempt to bring the Communist Party of China to its knees. It is now exceptionally vulnerable. It is a Potemkin superpower, if you like, a paper tiger in many respects. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous, but it is very much a cornered animal, and it has behaved extremely irresponsibly to this challenge by President Trump. You'd have thought that the CCP, and Xi Jinping in particular, would have learned something from Trump term one until 2021. But instead, they're now going confrontational. And I think they've painted themselves into this corner. We saw the Commerce Department of China today, as you say, quoted as saying that they will fight to the end. Well, that's already an admission of defeat. They know that this is a potentially escalatable conflict, and it's been escalating today and will by midnight tonight. And China has no option other than to respond with counter tariffs and the like, which is not about to work. The U.S. Commerce Secretary has already made that clear. The Chinese buy so little from the United States in comparison to what they sell the United States that the United States has the upper hand. At the same time, the Chinese economy, mainland Chinese economy, is bankrupt. Literally every aspect of it is now in the toilet. It's run out of cash, can't fund the Belt and Road Initiative. It's been trying to stabilize its stock market by having government intervention to buy stocks, which has caused the fall of the Chinese stock markets to be corrected again today, slightly. But the reality is they have nowhere to go. They will continue then to resort to bluster. And this bluster is, we'll increase our tariffs on the U.S. and so on. And they're now they're talking about, well, really Australia now belongs to us, and they're going to eventually take over Australia. I mean, they're actually openly saying that now. And this is all about this bluster of desperation. Now, unfortunately, this does create a problem, because when they say they will fight to the end, it implies that there is such desperation in the Communist Party of China that they may resort to some military distractions to break this cycle, this unprofitable cycle for them. Whether they would dare go as far as attacking Taiwan, knowing that they would lose and that this in itself could cause the collapse of the Communist Party, is debatable. But they could do something unpredictable. They certainly will try even more brinkmanship, and that could include closer challenges to the U.S. And allied navies in the South China Sea or the Straits of Taiwan, could include more naval challenges to Southeast Asia and Australia, bearing in mind that recently they had this warship flotilla conducting exercises around the Australian coast, meaningless but provocative. So they are going to do something. So China is a very different kettle of fish from the rest of the tariff wars. The rest of the tariff wars, Trump intends to resolve by saying, if you've got any brains, we will agree to drop all tariffs against each other and we'll go into a free trade environment, which benefits the US, but it also potentially benefits the other countries as well. Because what we have seen in the Western world and in all the situations throughout history is when you increase protectionism and tariffs, you actually slow the growth of your own economy. It's meant to protect your economy, but it in effect slows down its potential to grow because it's not so freewheeling, not so entrepreneurial. That's not the case with what the US is doing with China. So yes, we will see Japan, Korea, European Union, Britain and the like, they'll come back to this zero tariff situation shortly. And we'll start to see within the next couple of years, the US as the leader in breaking the old protectionist mold, which is essentially what the World Trade Organization has been doing, has been very protectionist, attempting to restrict everybody from making rash moves, whereas free trade is volatile sometimes, but it does inspire larger, greater growth rates.
The General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, is no longer, following your reporting, all powerful. What happened to him?
Well, he made too many enemies. He made too many mistakes. If you look at the strategic decisions undertaken by Xi since 2012, it's almost as though he has not made one good decision, either for the economy of the People's Republic of China, mainland China, nor for the good of the Communist Party itself. He has attempted to grab the harness of all power in Communist China, and that meant getting rid of his adversaries. He got rid of them in the party, he got rid of them in the military, and now he was getting rid of them in the bureaucratic administration, so that literally he would eliminate all of his rivals. So when he had rival factions when he came into office, like the Jiang Zemin faction, that's all gone. Now everybody is his rival, and they have contained him. His own peer group, the Princeling group, was the second generation of Chinese Communist Party leaders. They're all against him. So right now we see that Xi has virtually no decision-making powers. The PLA is fractured. All of his key loyalists that he appointed to positions of authority in the People's Liberation Army are gone. In the last week alone, there's been about 200 senior military purged. You've also had the change of control by the party of who makes appointments within government. So Xi has lost his ability to appoint people to civilian posts that would bolster his position and the like. So you've also got a situation where the PLA itself, which Xi had thought was going to be his power base, firstly, it's no longer his power base, but now it's also clearly not in a position to undertake major conflict with anybody, not to take Taiwan, not to challenge the United States. Xi may try to urge it to do something in Vietnam, for example, that's unlikely to be successful. There are very few things he can do apart from, if you like, gestures which will not invite massive retaliation. But when they talk about, as they've done on the trade and tariff talks, about a fight to the end, we do have to be careful that whether Xi or anyone else can make a decision which could trigger something accidental, something very destabilizing. Can't imagine what that would be at this stage. It's not going to be tackling the Indians on the Tibetan plateau. It's not going to be challenging the Russians, as they said they would, over the control of the Russian Far East. What can we expect? It's going to be very, very difficult. Xi is, in my estimation, already out of power, and I believe that the CCP will a successor, and that's going to be a process in itself over the next coming months. And so Xi will be out of a title, I would think, before the end of this year.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. When we come back, I'm going to tell two anecdotes of different aspects of the CCP, neither of them military, one about construction in Serbia, the other the factories in the Pearl River Basin, screaming that they're finished. I'm John Batchelor.